You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned.
And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Maurice Killifer.
Susie Hunt.
And we're here for a very special reason. What is that reason, Maurice?
I like things that are made of men. I mean, oh, it's my birthday.
It's your birthday episode. Yay, happy birthday. Woo!
Yay for escaping the vagina.
With his man thing.
Yep.
So 40 man thing years.
Yeah, the big 4-0. Why don't you tell everyone what you chose for us to review this year? Let's see if you can beat Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
I think I could. Or can.
I think you did.
Marvel's. I will say Marvel Studios because it did transfer over to Marvel Studios after this came out. This Marvel Studios 2005 man thing.
Oof.
Starring. Absolutely no one.
No. Oh, no. The what? Chick from Jessica Jones.
Yeah. There's
Rachel,
a few.
Rachel Taylor from Jessica Jones and Alex O'Loughlin, who I really dug this show. I stopped watching it, but I dug it. He was in Hawaii Five-0 for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
The remake. But
he actually, he was like one of the lead guys.
Yeah, he was the lead guy.
Now that I'm looking at his picture, I'm like, yeah, I never watched the show, but yeah.
So he actually had a really positive thing after this because the show lasted like 10 years.
Yeah.
So, but yes, Rachel Taylor rebounded to by playing Darcy,
Trish.
Trish Walker, Hellcat.
She's still not a great actress, though.
No, but she did get better.
She got better. She's in some good things.
Yeah, I did like Trish Walker in the series. So
yeah.
666 Park Avenue was a good and short-lived TV show on ABC.
I watched two episodes and it got canceled, didn't it?
It made it a whole season.
Oh, did it make it? Oh, yeah.
It made it a whole season.
The worst, like, I canceled it.
I canceled it after 2
13 episodes. I liked her in that. It was all about, like, demons and haunted things and
the devil?
I'll let Mike take over the rest with
the cast.
The director and cast and all that
stuff. It's an hour and 37 minutes. Like you said, it's from 2005.
Ooh, hour and 37 minutes. I'm never getting back.
Sorry, guys, but unfortunately, this was, I think, a little bit longer than Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
I think it was, too. But it definitely felt longer. I'll say that. Directed by Brett Leonard. We would know him from The Lawnmower Man, Hideaway, Virtuosity, Feed, Highlander the Source, and Dead Pit. Before we get into the cast, let's go around the table and ask what everyone feels about this. Maurice, since it's your birthday, we're going to start with you.
You like birthdays? You like boys?
Take it,
Maurice.
What's your thought about the man things?
Well, the thing is, it's pretty bad. I will never consider it a Marvel Studios film. It's not.
We already broke Susie. This is too early.
It went from my Muttley laugh into the.
I cannot in seriousness call it a Marvel Studios movie, even though, as I said, it was officially transferred over to Marvel Studios. But it's not a good movie. But I will say this. I don't want to say liked. It's not as terrible as I once thought it was. I don't know if it's because I watched it critically or what, but it's not god awful. Like, it's not Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
I hate to say I agree with you there, but as I told you yesterday off the air, I kind of agree. I don't hate it as much as I once did, but I'll get to that.
I don't know if I just didn't pay attention or what, but my biggest complaint was, I like monster movies where you don't see the monster throughout the movie. That just ruins it.
Right.
But when I first saw it, I was like, well, you don't really ever see him until the end. But you actually see him a lot more. Watching it critically, like I said, you actually see more of Man-Thing than which
you think you do.
You do when you're just like, oh, can this movie just end? And you just want it to end, and you just stop paying attention. You go on your phone.
The old Man-Thing is just kind of hanging out
there. Yeah, the Man-Thing's it was a thing. But it's not a good movie. You know, like I said, it's not Marvel Studios movie, but I wish it would have been better because Man-Thing, for some reason, has always been a good character. Like, enjoyed his character. Like, it's... Well, people say it's Marvel's Swamp Thing, but technically, Man-Thing came out before Swamp Thing.
Yep. It was a whole Dante's Peak, was it Dante's Peak and Volcano?
Yeah. Or
Deep Impact and Armageddon, like the whole, they came out around the same time Marvel landed first.
Right.
But, you know.
I think they're actually going to go to court, but it's like...
Do we really want to argue about this?
Right. About swamp creatures.
Right.
But I really like the character. I haven't read everything, done by Man-Thing, but the stories I've read... there was that really awesome Max series that came out in the, I think,
that
right
was
the, after this movie.
No,
there
was
the movie.
The prequel to this.
The prequel, yeah. That was good.
I agree.
The Max series was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The movie.
That's one of the reasons I had such high hopes
right.
for this. Because it was Kyle Holtz was the
yes.
Artist, which is probably why this main character is named Kyle.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was such a cool, because it was a more unique take on the Man-Thing character. Like, they brought in a lot of the, like, whole Native American mythology with it.
Mm.
And it was a cool suspense horror story. So I was excited as hell for the movie, and then we got this. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
Well, once they said it's going direct to sci-fi. Not direct to DVD.
Yeah.
Direct to sci-fi. You
knew. Oh, this wasn't even in the theaters?
No.
No, do not pass go. Go
hurt. it did not go to the theaters.
They did a limited release.
I thought it was supposed to, but it never did.
From what I was reading, it did a very limited release.
In the bayou?
In Europe and Asia.
Yes.
Like, not
in the U.S.
But, yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't even direct to DVD. It was direct to sci-fi. So that tells you everything you need to know about this movie.
Truth. It's the Sharknado of Marvel movies.
Yes.
Sharknado. I've never seen a Sharknado movie.
You're lucky.
Am I, though? I feel like my life is lacking.
You know, one of these days you might end up seeing one. You're part of the show.
Maybe I'll put it on a bucket list.
But, well, Susie, we'll toss it over to you. What are your thoughts on... the shambling swamp monster of a movie.
I thought you'd never ask. I'm a virgin to Man-Thing.
Good on
Are
you
now?
Good on you.
I have never seen Man-Thing.
He never stuck his tentacles in you?
I've never witnessed Man-Thing. I've never heard of Man-Thing before last night. Before Maurice said, I want to do the Man-Thing for my birthday.
And I did the Man-Thing.
Oh, you did. We all did.
There's a lot of sexual innuendo in this, which we'll get to as we go along. The music is not great.
No, it's like...
It's got Kidz Bop at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, it's like... It's not even like radio rock. It's like the worst station you can ever have on the radio. Their rock music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like the worst station in Grand Theft Auto.
Like,
it's like Kmart in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like station 91.2 you never heard of, and they're playing just random
Godsmack cover bands.
Sucky rock
you
bands.
Have, okay, so I remember Kyle and Terry the Teacher, because that's alliteration. You got Big Shit and Little Shit, who run the oil business. you got the Man-Thing. You got Ploog. Who I had to, like, I'm glad I watched it with the subtitles on. Because I was like, is his name really Ploog?
Yep, named after one of my favorite comic artists.
Yeah,
and you know what?
The first one to actually draw.
Yep.
He was actually one of my favorite characters in the movie, was Ploog. I just, because he was like the weirdo of the whole group.
Yeah.
So of course I liked him.
Not the Tibidoos.
You mean the Meth Brothers? Don't let it soak in that formaldehyde too long. It'll make the skin all puckery. Oh, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? But it's, I don't know, I thought it was really weird, and when I finally saw Man-Thing and experienced it up close and personal, I was like, this is really an angry, mossy Cthulhu.
Yeah, and quite honestly, he looks nothing like how he looks in the comics.
Nope.
I didn't even know this was a comic. until, so Shane and I watch a lot of, like, What Culture Countdowns on YouTube.
Yeah.
There are things that we like to watch before we go to bed, because you don't want to get into a whole nother TV show.
Sure.
But you just want something to think about. And Man-Thing actually came up on a countdown, and I mentioned Maurice, and this was months ago. I said, Maurice, like, is always talking about wanting to do this movie for the show. And I was like, I didn't know this was a comic book. And Shane was like, it is a comic book. But I don't know. I don't feel like he's supposed to be the bad guy. Is he like an anti-hero?
Yeah. He kind of falls in like the Ghost Rider type character where it's like...
He's not a hero. He's not a villain. He's just pissed off.
Basically.
Okay. And I loved Renee. Because he just, like, especially with when he interacts with the one meth brother, he just, like, sneaks up and is like, ba-boom! Yeah. But overall, like, I'm probably never going to watch this movie again. And
I'm not offended.
Okay, that's fine. I'm glad you're not.
It's my birthday, and I'm not offended.
And I will leave my primary thoughts of the movie at this. Why is there always got to be a fucking romance? Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. I arrested you. Now fuck me, baby.
In the swamp.
In the swamp. Like, seriously, they just met. He arrested her when they just met. And then 36 hours later, he sweeps her up from the school, and they're like, oh, I want to suck your man face. She's like, I want your man thing.
I actually have some notes about that very thing in here.
Oh, my God. Was I entertained at parts? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it was ridiculous? Absolutely yes.
One of my biggest complaints is they did mention the Ted Sales character, but like, why not use him?
Yeah,
he's we know it's him,
right?
Like,
but we never see any flashbacks with him.
So nothing. Ted Sales is
the main thing.
They don't say it, but it's.
Well,
I wasn't sure. I was trying to put two and two together.
He was the first one killed.
Yeah, when you see the man thing being created, and the buried bones that are coming up out of the...
At the very beginning?
Yeah. We find out later...
What happened to Ted Salas.
Right. So okay. It's like, oh, okay, that's...
Yeah. All right. I don't know if it was just I was like, oh, I just want it to be over, and my synapses weren't firing correctly.
I mean, no one could blame you for that.
But I appreciate you telling me that, because I'm like, where'd this man thing
Yeah, like, you have to be a real nerd to know all, you know, to really know that, but, like, us, we, you know, Ted Salas is like, why not have him as a character
right.
in a man thing movie?
And then also, it kind of makes the end make a little more sense.
Yeah.
Where the man things end up.
Now, one thing that I'm still pissed about, and I will never forgive this movie for, there was no Howard the Duck cameo.
I know. It
should have been a Howard the Duck cameo.
You're right. I know. We had to wait till Avengers.
No, wasn't it Guardians?
Our Guardians.
Yeah, yeah. Guardians finally saw Howard Guardians. The Duck. But no, I actually have said many, many times before, this is one of my most hated Marvel movies. Like, Marvel properties that were turned into movies. Like, I won't call it a Marvel film proper, but I have gone back on that slightly because now I can enjoy it on the same level that I would enjoy something like Bloody Bloody Bible Camp, where it's completely ridiculous and dumb, but I'm kind of entertained by it. So there were moments that I had to pause the movie because I couldn't stop laughing because it was just so silly. So... Will I watch it again? Maybe. I can't say that I definitely will. I could see being like, oh my god, you've never seen this, let's watch it. I could totally see watching this with a friend. But would I just pick to watch it? Probably not. I hate the way Man-Thing looks. I think he looks terrible in this. I love the way he looks in the comic books.
I have to look this up now.
So I was really disappointed with his... design in this.
Yeah. Cthulhu.
His weird red, like, firefly eyes. They're like little red fireflies. It was dumb. I hated the swamp transitions. Now, in Swamp Thing, we had the swamp wipe, where the screen would wipe.
Aww. He's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually really
He looks nothing like that in the movie.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
I know.
He looks cool. Like,
he looks like a sad little man thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was...
I mean, he kind of is.
And here he's an angry little man thing.
Yep. Looks like a little man elephant.
Yes.
He's got elephant face.
And here he's, like, different stages. Like, All right, I'm a little hurt. And here, I'm actually going to save this picture. I'm going to post it on our page.
I'm growing into the man. He's a grower, not a show.
Right. And here, so here he is, like, turning into man thing. And then he's like, I am all that is man thing.
Oh, Susie found a picture of him being a grower.
Yep, don't worry, guys. Oh, I'll put it on our Facebook page.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I am not a big fan of this film. It is entertaining. I'm glad we finally got it on the show. Because we tried to get it on the show two other times, and I think other than you, like, maybe three people voted for Man Thing.
You know, it got... I thought it was going to get on. Because I think the first three or four votes
were for
people
Man Thing.
Were
yeah.
for Man Thing.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
right.
looking good at first, and then...
Then it got blown out of the water. But, yeah, no, I'm glad we finally got it on the show. So... before we get into the show proper, there is an item here that needs to be opened by Maurice while on the show.
There should be a video.
I'm glad you said that.
I was going to say, yeah, Susie is going to be in charge of videotaping this. Let me kind of back up here.
Are you going to get
I'm going to stand up.
No, no, no.
Or behind it so I can reach down and...
All right, guys, excuse all the background noise.
I want to feel the man thing.
This is actually something from one of our reoccurring characters.
Oh boy!
So
are we rolling?
Oh, we're rolling.
We're rolling.
We're rolling with the man thing.
It feels like a man thing. Oh boy!
Oh my god!
Yes.
I can only hypothesize that is like a 3D poster.
It's a big old lenticular poster. Oh,
this is awesome.
I can only hypothesize that came from
this
our
can
own
only
Don
come
Knotts.
For Don or Don Knotts.
Yes, this is indeed.
Well,
so now,
thank you very much, Don.
For the listeners who have been listening for a long while, we will know that Maurice and Don have a bit of a rivalry when it comes to the adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl. And Don procured a very large lenticular poster of the film for Maurice. So, happy birthday, Maurice.
Well, this is great, and this is definitely going in the man cave.
With all your man things.
I will showcase this proudly.
That really is a cool poster.
That really
is a cool
is.
Poster. And it's a really good movie. Don't let her fool you.
Stay tuned for Maurice's birthday pick next year.
So we wanted to make sure to do that on the show.
That's great.
And I will post a video cool. of that.
I'll be honest, I hadn't even looked at it since she dropped it off. I just knew what it was. I did not realize that it was...
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I don't know. I might have to, like, nail it into the wall.
He might have to get a frame or something for yeah. that, or some kind of, like, mounting. Mount the man thing. But let's get back into this movie, shall we?
All right, kids, buckle up, because you're in for some sexy swamp action.
And you get them titties.
Buckle up.
Right off the
this
bat.
Is Sandy Puss, and I approve of this podcast.
So the cast of nobodies, we have Kyle Williams, played by Matthew Lynn Nevarez? I don't know how to say that.
Lynn Nevez?
Whatever.
Lynn Nevez. We're sorry we mispronounced yeah.
Matthew, weird last name.
He'll never be in anything we'll ever watch, so...
Yeah, he was in Farscape Feed in the Lizzie Borden Chronicles, so...
Yeah,
you know.
So, no.
Terry... Now, Rachel Taylor, we may see again because she was in See No Evil. And I can see that movie coming up.
That's a good movie.
I like the first one, but I love the second one. The second one was really good. First one's fun.
Now, did the second one have Kane Hodder in it? Or was it just the first one?
No, neither of them had. Or no, did was Kane Hodder in? I know Kane.
Not
from,
Kane Hodder. Yeah, Kane the wrestler.
Say, yeah, the wrestler. I was going to say, was Kane Hodder like a background?
I got Kane Hodder in my brain. Kane the wrestler.
Yeah, he was in both.
He was in both.
Yep.
Which his name is Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah.
Mayor Glenn Jacobs. Now.
And he's what, Jacob Goodnight in the movie?
I think so, yeah.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
But she's in See No Evil, Transformers, Shudder, which is another one we might see, Splinterheads, Grey's Anatomy, Luke Cage, The Defenders, and Jessica Jones.
Wait, so we won't see her in Transformers?
Not unless you pick a free birthday.
Okay.
So you gotta stay alive for two more years. At least.
Then we have good old Frederick Schiest,
Shit.
also known as Big Shit.
Big Shit. Played by Jack Thompson. He was in Short Circuit, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, Feed, Leatherheads, and Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Which, so we probably will see him again, because I do want to get that movie on here. And we have
Shist.
We have Deputy Frazier, played by Alex O'Loughlin. He was in Feed, The Shield, Whiteout, and Hawaii Five-0. So it's another comic book movie that, Oni Press one, Whiteout.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I saw that when I was, I forgot he was in that.
I totally forgot that movie existed. Then we have Rene LaRocque, played by Steve Bastoni. Matrix Reloaded, Enter the Matrix, Hawaii Five-0, and The Widow. Then Pete Horn. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher this. How the hell do you say that name?
Rawiri Paraten.
That what he said.
I'm going with what Maurice said.
Xena, Warrior Princess, Insatiable Moon, The Legend of Johnny Lingo, and Whale Rider.
I really liked Pete, too.
Yeah, Pete was a cool character. Then we have Mike Ploog, played by Robert Mammon.
My fave.
Mammary?
Mammary, yeah. Well, no, we're going to see those in a minute. Street Fighter, Border Town, The Matrix Reloaded, Enter the Matrix, The Matrix Revolutions, and Salem's Lot, the TV version. Then we have Jake Shist.
Little Shit.
Also known as Little Shit. Mm-hmm. Played by Patrick Thompson. He was in All Saints and Feed. Then we have the old Thibodeau brothers. We got Wayne Thibodeau, John Batchelor. He was in Farscape, Inspector Gadget 2, Splintered, and Peter Rabbit 2. So really, he's got a good acting pedigree.
I didn't know that there was an Inspector Gadget 2.
Sadly, there is.
I thought he was in something else that just came out. That
he might have been. I only grabbed a few choice entries. Then
yeah, that's not him.
Rodney Thibodeau was Ian Bliss. He was in Bound, Farscape, The Matrix Reloaded, Enter the Matrix, The Matrix Revolutions, Stealth, and Superman Returns.
How did so many of these actors, like the Meth Brothers, end up in the Matrix movies?
Because Matrix 2 and 3 were really bad.
I've only seen the first one because I heard that.
So, I mean,
and they were given meth to participate in these
movies. So were those their real teeth in this movie?
Probably not.
Oh.
And then we have the titular Man-Thing. Played by Conan Stevens. He was in Game of Thrones and all three of the Hobbit films.
So Game of Thrones, he is friggin' awesome. He is Gregor the Mountain.
Gregor the Mountain, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about Gerber, who was named after the writer.
Oh, that's right. He was named after
by William.
I left him out because he was such a minor character. He was
his name was named after it.
But I just have, racist McAsshole or something like that in my notes.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit.
A real fucking dick.
But, so, the basic plot of this movie, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is basically an oil tycoon and his,
little shit son,
are illegally drilling on native land, claiming that they bought the land, and are now being hunted down by the legendary Man-Thing. And we have Detective Kyle Williams trying to find out what the hell
Sheriff.
Is... Sheriff Kyle Williams. I'm thinking Detective because I just watched Saw for our upcoming film.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Kyle Williams trying to find out where the people that are missing are going. What is happening to them?
They're going to hell.
They're going to the swamp! But we open up with a shot of the swamp as the credits roll, and a narrator comes on and says,
"Dark water.
there is a sacred place deep in the deep swamp where the mangrove trees grow close together and the rays of the sun are never seen. My people call this place the Dark Water."
Doesn't it sound like a cologne?
Wasn't that
Dark Water?
Wasn't that a cartoon?
Dark Water? Yeah. That was a cartoon. That was a really good cartoon, too.
And I can't find it anywhere.
They never finished it either. It was like, I think it was like two seasons, and they never finished.
Right. Yeah, I always liked that as a kid. It's probably terrible now if you watch it.
I don't know. Like, I remember it being a really good action cartoon. There was like, was it Bloth or something was the bad guy? He had that weird ship, and the Dark Water was like the Blob.
Yeah.
Like, that was a cool show. But he says, "It is here that the spirit of the swamp lives. We now see an oil rig in the swamp," and the narrator continues, "This place was always filled with life and beauty, but evil men have changed that with their drills, their pipes. Greed and murder. Now the swamp cries out a warning. A time of retribution is here." Now we pan down to the mud bubbling up, and we get this bizarre montage of nonsense. We see oil rigs, dead things hanging from trees, the swamp, a skeleton rising out of the mud, because why not? And finally, lightning striking the oil rig. Now, granted, the skeleton will make sense a little later. But at this point in the movie, it's like, what did I just watch? What is happening? Why is there a montage of nothingness?
Well, I mean, the very next scene, there's some teenagers and middle schoolers having a party in the swamp while listening to the Kidz Bop version of Tainted Love. Yes. So maybe you would look at that and think, what kind of drugs are these kids doing down in the bayou?
Meth. They get it from the Tibbo.
From the Meth Brothers.
From the old Meth Brothers. But yeah, so we see the teens partying, and then Billy
and Sarah,
he grabs Sarah's tit, and she's like, not here, Billy, and she storms off.
Because there's like 10-year-olds smoking meth pipes, giving hand jobs for crack.
But then she wants to go deeper into the swamp, so she says, come on,
there's
Billy.
A lot of just like fucking abandoned rowboats, too.
Yes, there are.
But my favorite part is what he says.
Dude, what does he say?
But I don't want to. Yeah,
because he's all scared.
Also, is nobody fucking afraid? Because they make a point of mentioning, what is it, crocodiles or alligators?
Alligators.
Nobody's fucking afraid of the alligators. There's just
you
all
didn't
these...
see. That's another complaint of mine. You didn't see one damn alligator in this
right.
movie.
Mm.
You saw the giant foam rubber one that the Thibodeaux were dragging out of the swamp.
Oh, hell. That was fake.
Oh, and then, you know, even in the formaldehyde with the puckery skin.
I should... Real alligator. Trend,
true.
You know. All that commotion in the water would definitely attract alligators.
Well, I love it because...
So they run over and find this, like, abandoned rowboat that is somehow secured.
Right.
Like, it's very well secured among the like, shrubbery.
It's the boat from Friday the 13th, Part 1.
I thought it was the boat from Hatchet.
It very well could
be. I mean, either one is plausible.
I was waiting for Victor Crowley to show up and kill these kids.
I was waiting for baby Jason.
Baby Jason pop out?
Or not... Not baby, but, you know.
Now I'm picturing, like...
Freshly dead Jason.
I'm picturing Lil Jason jumping out and Victor Crowley coming up and both of them being like, oh, no, like, professional respect. Like, they're yours. You go ahead.
Because then Man-Thing just comes up looking like Cthulhu with his red eyes.
It's all yours, Swampy. Oh, wrong movie.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, they fall into this boat and start fucking. And, like, apparently the boat is powered by their humping because it just starts
like,
moving.
It, like, gets itself loose. And it she's like, oh, yeah. Hard. And he's and then we get Dem Titties. Yeah.
In a Marvel story.
I know.
Pre-Marvel Studios.
It was on sci-fi.
Yeah, I don't think they showed the titties on sci-fi.
That scene was cut out. Yeah,
so they're humping because then you also see dad ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which she...
You had to be like me and actually buy the DVD.
To see when she sits up.
Which I can't find.
Did she ask him if he's a virgin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just goes, oh my God. And she's like, you like that, baby? And he's like, I like that. It's like, oh my God.
What is the movie where what movies he's like, mama wants, or baby wants milk?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh my God, but it's Jonah Hill who says it.
Oh God, I don't remember.
Okay, maybe it's not Jonah Hill, but I know there's a movie where... Is it Grandma's Boy?
God, I haven't seen it.
I think it's
forever.
Grandma's Boy, and Jonah Hill is not in that movie, so just take the actor out.
No, everyone that acts with him is in that movie.
Yeah.
He's not.
Okay.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
But yeah, so they're fucking, and then all of a sudden, he gets on top.
You seem like a virgin, Billy Boy.
No, I'm not a virgin.
And then he, like, flips her over.
I fuck plenty of goats.
Alligators.
I gave them Thibodeaux a nickel. They let me fuck one of their gators.
A chicken. The devil's rejects. Okay. You fuck a chicken.
You stick your dick in it and go, ah!
Oh my God. This is definitely going to be a fun episode. So he flips her over, and then you just see his ass, like his white-ass ass, bouncing up and down in the air.
I'm glad I didn't take a sip of my coffee.
He was about to, guys. He was about to.
She was giving it the whack.
Yeah, she was giving it a little whack. And then all of a sudden, Billy makes his face and he goes, oh, God. And she's like, oh, you like that, baby? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, blood just squirts on her chest.
And a lot of it, too.
Oh, my God.
It was like a bucket of it.
It was like in the movie Carrie. Yeah.
Billy got fucked, too.
Yeah,
Billy did get fucked.
And then he gets yanked off into the shrubbery, and she screams, and then we get the title card. Well, actually, the title card splooges onto the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like black screen, and it's like, man thing.
Because as he's dying, he comes. Yeah. And that makes the man screen. The man screen makes the man. The man thing wrote man thing on the screen.
Oh man, we're at the title card and we've already gone off the rails like four times.
Yep.
This is going to be a fun one.
Yep.
So we cut to Kyle Williams on a boat in the swamp behind the factories, driven by Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel.
Did you see those teeth? Well, like
he's meth is what they do down there, I guess.
I'm certain it is.
Why do they call it Bywater?
Because it's Bywater.
It's a little piece of paradise. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's one of the lines I had to pause it at because I couldn't stop laughing at how dumb it was.
It's my mom.
Oh, there's more. There's even the maximum overdrive line when they say the thing. I was like, oh my fucking God. Cheese and rice.
But I love it because he asks Kyle, what are you doing down here? And he's like, looking to start a new life, looking for some peace and quiet. And Cletus laughs. He's like, you shady boys sure are funny.
And that's pretty much what he sounds like.
So they dock and Kyle heads up to the police station. We find out here he's the new sheriff in town. He meets Deputy Frazier, who shows him to his office, which is overrun with missing persons photos. And Frazier explains that the last sheriff, Sheriff Corley, went insane before he disappeared.
So I want to point out that Kyle, in a lot of scenes, looks like if you bought Stifler on Wish.
You're not wrong. Like, he really does. So he looks at the wall of missing persons and comments on it being a lot of people going missing for such a small town. And Frazier says, I see that they didn't fill you in all the way. And he begins to explain that it all started when Ted Salas went missing, a local medicine man.
And I gotta say, this is supposedly where you get the Stan Lee cameo. I guess he's on one of the pictures.
Yeah,
I didn't bother going back to look.
But I didn't see it.
I can die without seeing it. It's okay.
Susie's like, I'm not checking this out again. But yeah, he says that Corley thought Salas put a curse on Bywater. So Kyle asks him what he thinks about all the disappearances, and he tells him gators or maybe murders. He says murders are a possibility, and he explains another one went missing the previous night, and this is where we find out about Billy. They get a phone call from the coroner and head over.
They get to the coroner's office, and he seriously looks like he was, like, interrupted at lunch at Margaritaville. He's wearing, like, a Hawaiian shirt, and he's just like, yeah, we found Billy.
You know what he reminded me of? He looked like a guy that would cosplay Steven Seagal.
Oh.
Yes.
Like he would tell you about how good he is at Kung Fu and then would get his ass handed to him in a fight.
Yep.
Oh my God. So they go over Billy's body and Frazier gags and has to leave. We see plant matter growing out of several wounds and of course out of Billy's mouth and eyes.
Frazier is really not good with dead bodies.
No.
So no wonder he's not the new sheriff.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't handle it.
Why don't you go step outside?
Yeah, he tells him to step outside.
And then at one point later, he's like, pull yourself together. You can break down, but not here.
I love it because Kyle is the corner. He goes, is the green stuff normal? And he goes, well, his body was in the swamp. He's like, yeah, but for one night. And he's like, oh. Like, you didn't think of this? But Frazier comes back to the room telling Kyle that Mr. Schist just called and wants to report some trouble to him personally.
Oh, big shit.
So Kyle orders the coroner to do a full autopsy and leaves. Now we cut to Kyle heading over to the factories. We see a group of protesters have chained themselves to bulldozers, and Jake Schist, or Little Shit, and his security team are trying to get them to leave, but they refuse.
So it's like in the Green Inferno. That's what they did. They chained themselves.
Mm-hmm. Only successfully here.
Yes.
Unlike in the Green Inferno. And Kyle and Frazier pull up. Kyle attempts to tell them that while he appreciates their right to free assembly, it's a privately owned work site, which means what they're doing is illegal and they need to leave. Now, one of the women, which is Terry, speaks up, and my God, she's such a bad actress here.
Terry the teacher.
She goes, who the hell are you? Like,
her accent comes and goes throughout the movie.
Yes, it
like,
does.
Is she a transplant down in the bayou? Oh, no, she's got the native accent, but then it's gone, and it's kind of back now, but...
Mm-hmm. And then he goes, I'm the new sheriff, ma'am. And she goes, well, have a taste of country hospitality, sheriff. Pauses way too fucking long and goes, our asses aren't going anywhere. Like,
line.
Was, yeah, can, line. You, can you please redo that line? Because it was really bad.
But I'm sure the director was like, I really love the passion and conviction you delivered that with.
But I was just like, does she want us to think that the taste of country hospitality is their asses? Because she... What?
Well, don't forget, a mere 36 hours later,
yeah,
they're making out.
He's going to be tasting that ass.
Yeah.
She wants his man thing in her bayou. I bet Sandy Puss could come up with a good seminar for that.
I'm sure she could. But I love that this is where the one guard speaks up, which was Gerber. Was that his name?
Why don't you all fucking tree, you hippie bitch?
Yep.
Steve Gerber.
And you know what? Fuck a tree. That'll come back to bite him.
Sure will.
Sure will. Right up the ass. Through the mouth.
Oh, man. So Kyle tries to reason with Terry, but Terry tells them that Schist has been committing crimes against the native people for long enough. That if they need to arrest somebody, they need to arrest him. So Kyle gets the bolt cutters and goes to cut them loose. Then Terry just kicks him in the nuts, knocking him to the mud. And oh my god, her laugh. She's like, oh, it's like this god-awful laugh.
I didn't know I had such strength.
Oh god, I hated her. And then Kyle just asks her, walk or ride? She looks confused, and we cut to him carrying her over his shoulder.
And her yelling about how I want a lawyer. I know my rights.
As he's reading, as he's reading her,
you cannot arrest me. I demand a lawyer. That's like, he's like, what are you doing? Where
if you
from?
Can't afford a lawyer,
yeah, like, he's reading her as Miranda.
Yeah, and she's just not listening.
So he throws her in the cop car.
But she's not even handcuffed.
Yeah,
not till later.
And he puts her in the front seat. It's like, here you go.
I think the back seat is where they put the Crocs. The alligators. And
That's where the man thing is.
Yeah. That's where the man things happen.
But Frederick Schist, the owner of the factory, so big shit, comes up and introduces himself to Kyle. They have a little chat about how he sympathizes with the protesters, but the reality of it is he paid a boatload for the land and he isn't breaking any laws. And then he goes... Any American laws, anyway.
Now, before you go on, I gotta say, Frederick Schist. I mean, Schist. He didn't shit.
Not yet.
He is the Dollar Tree Donald Pleasance.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
he is.
His deliveries bothered me through this entire movie, because he would pause at random intervals while giving his line deliveries. Yeah. And his eyes would get super wide, and then they'd get all squinty for no reason. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was getting angry or surprised. It was just like, he'd be like, ha, sheriff, and his eyes would bug the fuck out of his head. And they'd be like, here you got some trouble. Like, it's like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Like, why are you doing this?
All he needed was a cane.
Man-Thing has come to your town, sheriff.
You must warn all the people. He's come home.
Oh, my God. So Kyle asked him what he means about, you know, not any American laws. And he kind of tells him that Terry is going to tell him all about these tribal laws. And he goes, which I call horseshit excuses for terrorists. And he, you know, says how they've been destroying his equipment and whatnot.
I have a question, raising my hand.
Sure.
So, he says he bought this land. I bought this land. I bought this land fair and square. I bought this land. Where's your receipt?
Exactly.
And where's Ted Sales, the man you bought it from?
Well, he skipped town with the money, you see.
Oh, that's right.
That's what happened.
He skipped town.
But Kyle looks at him and goes, it seems like you want to tell me something specific. And he goes, you're a real straight shooter. I like that. Then goes on to tell him about Rene LaRocque, a half-native who lives out in the swamps like an animal and could possibly be the one killing everybody.
So what's the other half of him? Half-native, half-man-thing?
Yeah.
Half-native, half-alligator?
Half-white.
Half-rowboat?
Half-white, half...
Half...
You know, all the times I see him in this movie, though, he looks pretty clean for a guy that lives in the...
In the swamp, yeah. Right? Yeah, and hides in the dark water.
Right.
It's the dark water cologne. It keeps him clean.
Yeah.
Maybe Man-Thing helps him shower, because those look like they would be good loofahs.
By Calvin
He's got the little moss loofahs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But Kyle tells him that before he arrests anybody, he needs to do his own investigation. And Shit agrees and tells him it just needs to be sooner rather than later. And he goes, when the dust settles, you'll find out that this is a real nice place to live. And he goes, I'll make sure of it. I'm like, are you coming on to him? Mm-hmm. What's going on there? So Kyle heads off, and the Shits get their crew back to work. So we see a montage of them tearing up the land and, you know, like the bulldozers tearing up the, you know, the ground and whatnot.
The mm-hmm. montages after a while in, like, the shaky cam, like, red, kind of was making me a little nauseous.
Yeah, they used it constantly.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that either, among other things.
But when they start digging up the land, okay, there's a sound that... Now, for any of our listeners who've ever played the original Doom video game and remember the grunts of the Pinky Demon, that's the only way I can describe this thing. Like, it was this random digitized grunting, and I'm like, is that Man-Thing? Like, what is this? Like, because they never go back to it, and they never use the sound effect again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like somebody had a soundboard of random video game sounds, and they were just poking buttons.
This sound good.
I like this sound. But then we see a montage of pollution mixing in the swamp, swamp goo growing over the trees, more dead things, nature shots, and, you know, the night sky. Now, we cut to the police station at night, and I'm like, how long did it fucking take them to get back to the police station?
Didn't they have a scene with, before that, though, where he's like, Pa, isn't he kind of young to be the sheriff?
Yeah, he's like, that's the point, boy.
Yeah, that's how I like him.
They're supple.
Young and supple. God.
I can do what I want with them.
Oh, now I'm just picturing that episode of Rick and Morty where Rick is telling Morty that his anal cavity is still malleable and supple. Oh, Lord. But we cut to the police station at night, and Kyle is questioning Terry.
The teacher.
Well, this is where we find out she's a third grade teacher and has been arrested 5 times already. Doesn't he say, like, one more and you get a decoder ring or something like that?
Yeah.
And tells him that the land is ancestral land, and that Ted Salas, the tribe leader, took Schist's money and ran out on the tribe, but the people didn't see a dime of it. So basically, they don't want him drilling there because, you know, it's their land.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, which makes sense,
right? But he asks her about Renee LaRocque, and if she knows him, she tells him it's a small town, and of course she knows him. He asks if she can help him find him. And she said he's not an easy man to find. So Kyle lets her go without charging her. She looks confused, and he tells her, like you said, it's a small town, and if I arrest a third grade teacher on my first night simply for caring about the environment, that's a bad start.
No, I broke it down.
Go ahead.
I won't arrest you because you're hot.
I mean, again, you're not wrong. I love how she looks annoyed and confused. She's like... Okay. Well, she kind of walks away.
Maybe she wanted to be handcuffed. I mean,
yeah, she very well might
have been arrested 5 times.
That's in the cutscene at the very end. The after credits.
I know. That's why I can't find my DVD. I want another art deleted scenes.
Man, things playing the mood music in the background.
I'm like a little flute.
He's just gurgling. But, so Kyle, we cut to the next day. Kyle heads off to a diner where he meets Terry and some of the locals. You see Pete Horn, who is excitedly pouring sugar on the counter and seems to be a tad off. Mike Plug, who tells him that all the legends about Bywater are true. And then the random hillbilly brothers, the Thibodeaux.
Also Wayne known as the Meth Brothers.
Thibodeaux.
The way they say that.
Wayne and Rodney.
Who are just creepy weirdos.
But I didn't get, like, the waitress, hostess was like, well, for the sheriff, the first coffee is free. The second is twice as much.
Yeah.
Twice the price. Yeah, and he was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, in other words, you don't get any discounts from the sheriff. But the Thibodeaux brothers tease the sheriff for a moment until he tells them to leave him alone and they skulk away. Then the power flickers. Pete Horton suddenly grabs Kyle's arm and says, "No man can stand against it alone." He goes, "What?" And then he goes, "Something is out there, waiting." And the power comes back on, and Pete is just singing and drawing in the sugar again.
Because Pete also has a sugar addiction. Mm, she makes a point of mentioning
that's
that.
True. But I just thought it was funny because Kyle was like, "What?" Like, he looked scared.
And then, oh, Terry show up after that?
No, not yet, because Kyle looks back at Mike Ploog, who looks around all shifty and then leaves the diner. So he's like, what's up with that guy? And we cut to Kyle on the barge going to the next town over. This is where he goes to visit Tits McGee in the mental asylum.
Oh, because the sex made her crazy.
But this is where we see the Thibodeaux dragging the non-moving foam rubber alligator out of the water.
It's up there with the shark from Batman, the movie.
or Jaws in Jaws 3, where it's like swimming and not moving.
Yeah.
Where it's just sliding toward you. But at the asylum, we see Tits McGee sitting there unmoving in a wheelchair. Kyle asks the nurse, "How long has she been like this for?" And she's like, "Since they brought her in here, it's like we're not even here." He goes, "Well, call me if anything changes." Suddenly there's a bad edit and she's on his back like a howler monkey screaming and slapping him.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't jump out of the chair. Like, I rewound it twice to be like, okay, is it a blink and you miss it thing? Like, does she jump up? No. She goes from sitting to on his back. They literally cut a frame.
She teleported. It's a Marvel movie. She
Man
teleported.
Thing gave her powers. The blood of Billy gave her superpowers.
Oh, Billy.
Billy's jizz. My Billy's jizz and his blood combined.
You cannot teleport. But the nurse gets her off of him. Kyle just straightens his jacket and leaves while the nurse tries to calm her down. Like, okay, what was the point of that scene?
Right.
Like, there was no point to it. So we get another swamp montage. Because they're all
over the place. A cautionary
tale
that sex will make you crazy.
Especially sex in the swamp.
Yeah.
On a broken boat.
I mean, it kind of does, but, you know. But Kyle gets called back to the shit factory, where a ton of construction equipment has been wrecked. And we see Chekhov's dynamite was stolen.
Ooh.
We see the equipment is covered in swamp goo and branches. Kyle takes a bunch of photos of the damages while the shit bitches about how they want something done about... Or the shits bitch about how they want something done about all this.
It's Renee.
Yeah, just they're convinced it's Renee. And, and then friggin' Goober, whatever his name is, pipes up and he's like, "It's Pete Horan what did it too." And
he's like, "He coon crazy."
Yeah,
crazy as a coon.
And then he just devolves into this like racist stereotype redneck and just starts like going off about like everybody other than white people.
Yep.
He's like, Kyle's like talking about how there's a lot of untrustworthy people in the world, and he goes, "And I put racist assholes up there at the top." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh, what you saying?" Like, he gets all mad.
Like, he's one of those asshole workers who think they run the place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They think, you know, and you're not. You're nothing but a...
You're a peon.
You're piss on the shit.
A pissant.
You're a piss. You're a stream of piss on the shits in that company.
Oh, I hate the shits. But
I don't like Steve Gerber much either.
Yeah. But, oh, my gosh. So... I'm trying to think, like, I have a line in here, I'm trying to figure out where this came from. Oh, okay, yeah, because the daddy shit, or whatever his name was.
Big shit,
little shit, ain't no more shit.
He goes to say, "Hey, come on, brother," and it sounded like he said, "Hey, come and baba," and I was like,
what's a come and baba?
That's what I was like, did he say come and baba, what the fuck is that? But he says, "Hey, come on, brother," and it sounds like, "Hey, come and baba." So Shiz tells Kyle that the natives believe that he ripped him off, but in reality he paid for the swamp, or he overpaid for the swamp land.
With his soul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Jack pipes up calling out Salas, saying it's all his fault. He skipped town with the money that they paid for that land. And this is a little weird, because, like, that's the story they've been going with,
mm-hmm.
And then Big Shit, like, tells Little Shit to shush. Like, don't repeat the story that we already mentioned two other times in the film. Like, what?
We don't want to remind him.
Like, it just doesn't make any damn sense. But Kyle tells him that if someone breaks the law, then they have his attention. He goes on to say that it's an open case until I get some hard evidence. And we get racist Magooch telling him to watch his back, that there's more things in the swamp that he'll never understand. So,
no alligators, though.
No alligators, but there is a swamp thing. It's named Man Thing.
As we'll find out soon.
We smash cut to Kyle driving through the backwoods next to the swamp. Suddenly, something runs across the road, and he slams on the brakes, gets out with his gun immediately drawn.
Jason from Part 2.
Yeah, it was very much like that. But even that cop didn't draw his gun immediately.
No, he didn't.
He was like, hey, stop, or I'll say stop again.
He was too out of shape to draw the gun.
And then I'll run after you, but not very fast.
Then I'll take a hammer to the back of the head and die. But yeah, Kyle jumps out with his gun ready to shoot whatever the hell it is. And
he's spooked.
I was like, why is it illegal to wander the swamp at night? Like, what's wrong with this guy? So we see the same something run behind his car and off into the woods. Kyle wanders off looking for it. So we cut to Jack sitting in his office at the work site with his door open. And there's a Confederate flag above him, because of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears a noise. I love this, because he hears a noise out in the swamp. And he's like, darn. Like, the look on his face. And he's like, what's that? Who there? The way he said that was terrible.
Killer Croc walks in. wrong property.
But he grabs a fucking machine gun. I'm like, just, wait, what?
Because that solves everything in the bayou. What if it was Mama coming to talk to you about the foosball?
I just thought it was funny that, you know, on a security detail, he's just got a fucking machine gun. And he heads outside yelling, is that you, LaRoque? And then he sees something moving in the bush and just fucking unloads a clip. Like, what if that was Steve taking a leak? He just shot your security guard.
What if it was his dad?
Taking a leak. Or we weren't fucking that lucky. Steve. But, I love this because racist McGee jumps up behind him. He's like, God damn it! He's like, did you get him? What is it? And then little shit goes running off into the bush. And he goes, ain't no Indian gonna make me run. I'm just gonna smoke my cigarette.
He says, God damn it. I ain't chasing it.
That's really what it sounded like.
And then it's like, I'm done with fucking around.
He sits there going to light his smoke.
A second cigarette. He just
lit one.
Yeah.
Oh, but we cut to Kyle in the swamp, and Renee LaRoque approaches him. Kyle warns him to stop or he'll shoot. LaRoque keeps coming. Kyle fires into the air. He looks at him and says, go home or you'll die. Suddenly there's a noise behind Kyle. He turns to look, and then when he looks back at LaRoque, he's gone. It's like, dun, dun, dun. So back to racist Magooch getting spooked. He hides in the office. And he goes to light another smoke.
Because that's all he can do.
Is smoke in terror. And the power for the whole plant goes out. He looks around terrified.
God damn it!
Suddenly something runs past the window scaring him. There's a growl outside and he shoots a perfect circle through the door with a shotgun. Like, did you notice? It was like someone took a circular saw and just carved a circle out.
And after he shot it, they just pulled it.
He peeks through the hole and suddenly something bashes through the door and through him. Like, he goes flying into the wall.
It's from the Evil Dead. The wind. Yeah.
Exactly. So we pan out to the factory, we hear something screech, and then the power comes back on. Back in the swamp, we see Kyle going back to his car, and he begins to back up in his car and leave when suddenly a half-dead cop is thrown on his windshield.
And literally, it is a half cop.
Yes.
Half not a half dead.
Yeah, half of a dead. That's what
half of a dead, not a half dead.
Half dead, dead, half.
All dead, half cop.
All day.
I love it, though, because his reaction, he just goes, oh, fuck. Like, that's kind of appropriate.
What the hell?
But we smash cut to the coroner's office with Steven Seagal, and he goes...
Again, coming back from Margaritaville.
Yeah.
And find out it's Jim Corley.
Yep, he goes...
Oh, he says...
New sheriff. New sheriff. Old sheriff.
Meet old sheriff.
Jim Corley. I'm like, okay, I got questions here. First of all, how did Kyle get back? Because when the corpse threw the, or when the corpse was thrown on this truck, like, the power in his truck went out. So did he walk back, like, 20 miles dragging the corpse?
No, he jumped the truck. He had cables. Oh, okay. He had extra battery.
I was like, how did that happen? But
or that magic swamp juice.
Also, where is the rest of the sheriff? I mean, like, I...
Yeah, he was, like, up in a tree.
Man-Thing ate him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did Man-Thing get hungry? Like, what happened? But the coroner tells him that he's been missing for over a month and asks how Kyle found him, and he goes, just lucky, I guess. Like, didn't want to tell him that the corpse was thrown on my car.
Well, here's my question. They made it seem like the old sheriff was old.
Yeah.
He got young.
He's a young dude.
Kyle, this could be you.
The coroner goes over the corpse and shows him bite marks, and he's like, clearly an alligator got to him. And the phone rings, and the coroner... I love this. The coroner holds up his gloved hands.
Well, with a cigarette.
With a cigarette. And he's like, oh, do you mind? And tells freaking Kyle to get the phone. And then he puts the cigarette back in his mouth with corpse fingers.
Yeah.
Ew. You got dirty corpse fingers.
I mean, people eat in movies all the time with their dirty corpse finger gloves.
No, because they usually take the gloves off and then they pick up the sandwich. Like, this guy was, like, repeatedly touching
the
corpse.
It's the bayou.
Oh, it was disgusting.
It's different down there.
But on the phone, it's Frasier. And Kyle turns to the corner and tells him to clean up. We're going on a field trip.
Cool.
Cool. I forgot he said that.
Cool, man.
We smash cut to them back at the schist factory. They investigate the murder of racist Magooch, who had a branch jammed down his throat. But
the coroner says, do you see the placement of the tongue?
And the teeth.
And the teeth. The branch didn't go in. The branch was coming out.
Through his ass. In through his ass. Out.
Out through his mouth. He done got shish kebab.
That is a Jack Frost move right there.
And then he goes to smoke, and Kyle Williams is like, do you have to smoke? And
he's like, yes, I do. But
the coroner tells Kyle that the other bodies have all had stuff growing out of them, but nothing like this. And Kyle asks why there wasn't any info on that in any of their files. And he tells him the previous sheriff insisted that they file him as gator attacks. Kyle asked him, is that what you believe? And he tells him, well, what else could it be?
Man-Thing!
It's the Man-Thing! So
we don't have a word for that yet, though.
Big Shit shows up, walks up to dead racist Magooch, and dramatically says, what man could do that?
Not a man. Man-Thing.
I love it because the coroner and Kyle look away as Schist shuts his eye and as if he's ready to shed a single tear. I was like, that's some quality acting.
He's like, come on, just one, come on, milk it out.
And now instead of a swamp montage, we get a sky montage.
Oh my god.
And Kyle is getting ready to go looking for Renee LaRocque when Terry comes up and dramatically tells him that he's wrong, that it couldn't have been Renee. She knows him and he couldn't do that. Kyle tries to tell her that he saw Renee not 2 miles from the murder site. Frasier comes running up and tells him that Schist hired the Thibodeaux to hunt down Renee and that they'd better get over there. Now we get another swamp montage.
And then we get lawmen in the swamp.
And they arrive at the Thibodeaux place, which is basically if Leatherface was really into gators.
Yep. Yep.
Of course, Jake Schist is there because they were just running a throughway on a gator. Kyle tells them in no uncertain terms that they're to stay out of the investigation and out of his way. They try intimidating him, but Kyle puts the hurt on Rodney. He grabs him by the arm, and he's like, oh, damn, Sheriff, let me go.
We're just trying to run an honest business here.
We're just a couple of honest businessmen.
Smoking our meth.
Cooking up our gators.
Fucking our gators.
Oh, my God.
We fuck them, and then we eat them. And then we fuck him again.
Oh, no.
That's some good seasoning.
They season with their man thing. Mm.
Spicy.
But, so, the two officers take off, and Jake and the brothers go back inside. And I wrote, this is where I got it. I was like, to fuck a gator or whatever creepy Rule 34 thing they're up to.
Yep.
Now we get gator corpse and swamp montage. So mixed in with the swamp montage is corpses of gators hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
But we cut to Kyle and Frazier in the boat searching for Renee. They head deep into the swamp. We cut to Pete Horn doing some kind of ritual, and we see a totem of what looks to be a man covered in branches. Cut back to Kyle and Frazier in the swamp. Their boat motor dies. Frazier starts kind of freaking out trying to get it started again.
Then they have to motorboat to get back.
If the engine dies, we lose our light!
Yeah, because he's freaking out. And he's saying about how much he hates the swamp. And we cut to spooky swamp monster hand on the tree. Like, we see the man thing's hand.
The point of view from his hand.
Yep, and then it slides away out of view. And we see the Thibodeaux in the swamp.
And Rodney's got a shit.
He gets gurgly belly.
Oh. He goes, did he eat enchiladas?
Right? He goes, damn it, Wayne, you always make your coffee too strong. So he gets up to go make a boom boom. And, I mean, it's a horror movie, so of course he's got to go take a shit. Wayne tells him to go downwind and pinch it off. We see something watching Rodney.
And that's like a bidet right there. Like, you just go, and then you just swish your butt around.
Gross.
That's probably what they do. They don't really wipe.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't. He has a roll of TP, but he doesn't wipe.
No, he's got swamp ass.
He squats the poop, he hears something, and I wrote right here, in true horror movie fashion, he hoists his pants up with mud butt.
No, yep. You missed it. He squats in the swamp water and washes his ass.
I don't think he was washing anything. Ever. And then he slips in his own poo and the mud, because of course, why not?
Fell into the shit.
I love it because he heads back to Wayne, who teases him about, he goes, you shitted yourself, like your whole self. That actually was a really funny line.
So if he, like, fell in his own shit, why wouldn't he, like, try to clean himself off?
Because they don't bathe.
He probably smelled better.
His natural musk.
Rodney calls, I love it because he goes, you're always fucking with me, you scrotum.
These two are just...
Oh, God. See, again, the lines are terrible, but they're funny.
I'm so serious about this, I'm sitting with my hands on my hips.
And he goes, it's mud I fell in. And he goes, sure it wasn't your own mud? Oh, God. So they get to work. Now we cut to Kyle and Frazier. They're paddling the boat slowly through the water. And Frazier tells them that Mike Ploog has some canoes at his place that they can use to get home or deeper in, if that's still the plan.
Deeper in. What? Why does he have all these random boats and canoes?
Well, one for him and one for his dog and one for his other dog.
Oh, my God.
But Kyle tells him he met Ploog and he goes, he's a weird guy. Frazier tells him he claims to have seen the Loch Ness Monster as a child and he moved... And when he moved here, he took a house in the middle of the swamp. He believes in all sorts of stuff.
Don't forget, he moved to Canada and caught Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, Ploog tells us that later.
Mm.
That he almost caught Bigfoot.
That's right.
So, Frazier goes on to tell him that he thinks Renee is probably in the dark water. It's sacred land, and he can show him where it is, but he won't go past the edge. Kyle asks him if he believes in all this, and Frazier tells him in no uncertain terms that he certainly does. And he's also scared shitless. Mm. So back to the Thibodeaux in the swamp, we see a thick fog, and Wayne loses Rodney.
And they don't, they tell, one of them tells the other not to yell. We don't want the sheriff to catch our scent or something.
Mm-hmm. Rodney! Don't worry,
Rodney. So then they're yelling, and it's echoing. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Rodney! Rodney!
And that's exactly, I mean, and he just kept yelling it over and over and over. Eventually, Wayne ends up hitting a mud bank. And he gets out of his canoe and starts hoisting the canoe over the mud bank. He gets, like, kind of caught in the mud, continues to yell for his brother. Behind him, we see a creature begin to approach him.
This is the best death in the movie.
Oh, God, yeah. We don't get a good look at it here.
But you can tell. It sneaks up behind him, and the tentacle goes up his ass, out his chest, and then down his mouth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like a Chinese finger cuff.
I guarantee you that scene created some Rule 34 action.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you after this movie there was a new fetish born. But yeah, because he gets killed by the man thing. It sneaks up on him, snakes its tentacles across the water, and...
You are too much for man thing.
Wayne so, is dead.
Bye-bye, Wayne. So we cut to Terry jogging in town. She stops and eyeballs the shit factory in the distance. We hear a creature howl and then a standard horror movie wolf howl, and she continues on her way. Mm. What the fuck was the purpose of this scene?
I was watching the subtitles. It didn't even say wolf. It just said animal howls.
Yeah. To show her in tight clothes and sweaty, which she wasn't even really sweaty. Also, why is she always wearing a fucking jacket?
Right.
It's like 95 degrees and humid down there all the time.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this scene, I don't know why this scene in particular made me so ridiculously angry, but I was like, why is this here? We're in the middle of, like, the scene in the swamp where it's like the officers are searching for Renee, Man-Thing just killed one of the Thibodeaux, like, all this cool shit's happening, and here's Terry going for a night jog. Like, why is this here?
Man-Thing probably Filler. Made Wayne's teeth much better. Like, the poop and the intestinal acid... Plus the mossy exfoliation.
Mm. Mm.
Probably just knocked those suckers out.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Which is better than what they were.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man, so Terry the... Tits Terry the teacher.
Goes for a night jog. Back to Kyle and Frasier arriving at Ploog's place. He's nowhere to be found, and the place is locked up tight.
Why is it locked? Who the fuck is gonna break into that little shanty other than Jason Voorhees or the Toxic Avenger?
Thibodeaux.
And a gator.
And a gator.
Excuse me, sir.
That they're gonna fuck.
Excuse me, sir. Could I sell you some encyclopedias? The gator's wearing a top hat and a monocle.
Wally Gator.
Yeah.
So, Frasier is getting nervous and saying that things don't feel right. Kyle tells him he needs to stay here and wait for Ploog.
He doesn't feel right, and then he tells him, I need you to stay here by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I was laughing at that, too, because it's like, he's freaking out, and Kyle's like, so I'm just going to leave you here. He gets in a boat and starts heading off deeper into the swamp, telling him that he needs him to stay there in case he flushes out the Thibodeaux. So, or Renee, I'm sorry, flushes out Renee or the Thibodeaux.
The rope.
Yeah, because you can handle the Thibodeaux.
Yeah. And so Kyle goes deeper into the swamp. Now we cut to Rodney Thibodeaux looking for his brother. He finally finds...
Wayne!
And again, Wayne! It echoes.
But I love this. He finally finds him, and it looks like the result of a Cenobite that took up gardening.
Yeah.
It really does.
Because he's got, like, twigs and branches holding parts of him open.
Meanwhile, Pinhead is standing over there, admiring his work. Dr. Chouinard is just shaking his head. Or should I say, he's trying to shake his head, but his whole body is shaking back and forth.
It's from his neck down.
Yeah.
His
Wayne, what the hell happened to you?
Dun, dun, dun. And as he's crying out for his brother, CGI Man-Thing grabs him and yanks him into the water. So bye-bye, Wayne. Rodney.
Hello there.
Oh, we got a cat interruption. But back to Frasier on the dock at Ploog's place, looking terrified. He hears splashing and looks around to see Mike and his dog standing in the swamp up ahead. He calls out to Mike, and him and his dogs just walk away. So Frasier goes to follow. Now we get swamp montage through the eyes of the Man-Thing. And it leads right to Frasier and as it watches him. Then back to Kyle in the deep swamp looking for Renee. He calls out for Renee, telling him he just wants to talk. He wants to talk about what happened to Ted Salas.
There's a couple of rednecks out here who want to do more than just talk.
Yep. He hears a noise, turns, sees nothing, then walks right into a snare trap and gets hoisted up by his feet. So he struggles to free himself, pulls a pocket knife out of his boot, and looks up and sees Renee walking toward him with a big fucking knife, and Kyle hides his pocket knife in his closed hand. So Kyle asks him, Renee, what are you doing? And he tells him, joining the hunt, Sheriff. So Kyle tells him that I'm getting all confused here. Kyle tells him if it's not him who is, or if he's not doing what people are saying he's doing, then cut him down. Renee says, what are people saying I'm doing? And Kyle tells him that he's, you know, that they're saying he's the one responsible for the disappearances. Renee tells him that he's not responsible. Kyle tries to explain that there are people out there who think he's innocent. Renee laughs and tells him, I'm not innocent. He then goes on to explain how he's the one that convinced the shits to buy the land, and that his people had nothing and he thought the money would help. Kyle asks about Salas, and Renee tells him that Salas would have never sold. And right after he disappeared, shit stuck an oil rig right in the center of their most sacred land, the Dark Water. His people never saw a dime of that money. Kyle asks what's happening, and Renee tells him that the Guardian of the Land won't stop until the pipelines are gone and the oil stops flowing. He tells him how Pete Horn thinks his prayers can stop it, but he has other plans on how to stop the creature. There's a sudden shriek in the distance. Kyle quickly cuts the trap down with his pocket knife, just jumps on Renee like, ha!
I've got you.
He goes to punch him, and Renee throws him off, telling him, run or it'll kill you, and he just takes off into the swamp. So Kyle tries to follow. Frasier hears Kyle and calls out to him. Kyle turns and sees Frasier up ahead. Renee clunks Kyle with a log like he was pretending to be Angela. Mm. He just beat him with a stick. Mm. And then as Kyle's fallen down, we see Man-Thing grabbing Frasier with CGI tentacles and tear him apart.
Down goes Frasier!
Ding, ding, ding.
And then he wakes up to find Ploog taking pictures of his dead deputy's floating arm.
Yep. We can't forget Kyle's dramatic movie fainting.
Yes. It's, oh! And then he, like, falls on his side and his eyes are, like, slowly closing, but he's trying to keep focused, and then it's just like,
Oh, that faint had me cracking up. But yeah, as you guys said, he wakes up, he's taking pictures, Ploog is taking pictures of Frasier's arm.
He's like, where's the rest of my deputy? And Ploog's like, I don't know.
I just found him like this.
You're such a Ploog.
And then he's like, come back to my cabin.
I got some things on film you might want to see.
Like, that is so fucking disgusting. I was just taking pictures of your dead deputy's arm here, but why don't you come back to my place?
And then he's just like, yeah, okay, let's go.
Right.
Call me.
But this is where he kind of tells him about how, you know, he spent time in Canada hunting after Bigfoot and then time around Area 51, but never came close to anything like what he came close to tonight. And he's like, what I saw tonight will streak your short, Sheriff.
He's like, that's he's what like, I'm what over. Is,
he's like, I so better go check out these pics.
So he shows him these pictures and he's got them strung up because he's developed them. And it just looks like trees, kind of. Like,
yeah, where the hell arms. In any of these pictures do you see Man-Thing?
Right. It was just like a bunch of roots.
Yeah, a bunch of roots, like the Blair Witch.
But Sheriff Williams is like, I see it.
Right, like, and then Ploog says, he goes, it's a thing. And he goes, it's a Man-Thing, man. And then the crowd went by, oh, he said the thing! He said the thing where it's the title of the movie!
But there was no crowd.
Well, because Kyle tells him... I'm sorry. He goes, he looks at it and goes, no, it's a tree. This is nothing. And he goes, that's a man. And then Blue pipes up and goes, it's a Man-Thing. That's where I was like, ah, he said the thing!
It's a Man-Thing, man.
Oh, my God. So Kyle forces Ploog to pack up all of his photos and come down to the station. We cut to the next day. Kyle is going to the school to talk to Terry.
And takes her away from her kids. Like, yeah. It's like the middle of the school day.
He's like, they're on recess. They're fine.
We're going to go for the rest of the day.
He wanted to go talk to Horn.
Yeah.
Not the singer.
But the thing here that cracked me up is, so he asked her to take him to Pete. But for whatever reason, we pan in on the weird little white boy in the baseball cap just sitting in the sandbox.
That went nowhere.
Right. He was beating a truck with a stick, just staring at the sheriff while natives chant in the background. I'm like, what is this?
Which made no sense in the movie at all.
Right. No, this is like Terry jogging all over again. I'm like, why was this here?
Meanwhile.
That's why I'm like, I gotta find my DVD. So I gotta see if there's deleted scenes because her jogging came out of nowhere. This boy beating up on a truck came out of nowhere. Like, are there deleted scenes or what?
There's so much nonsense that's like, why is that there?
We want to make it over an hour and a half.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Like, we need to stretch this out. So, kid, beat that truck and just stare at the screen.
And then out comes Terry running, wearing a fucking coat.
Again.
A coat and fucking high heels. You teach third grade and you're wearing high heels?
Yeah.
So they head over to Pete's place, and all of this, because she's like, we have to walk from here. They stop, like, outside, like, way outside of his
house. And why does Pete have multiple burning cars?
Thank you! I was like, flaming cars, why? What?
First I looked, I was like, why is there a flaming car? Why are there multiple burning cars?
Was there a destruction derby just before they arrived? Like...
It's the bonfire from Candyman.
I was going to say it was the Firefly family trying to get rid of the evidence.
Trying to burn the evidence. Oh, my God. So they go over to Pete, and Kyle talks to him about what's been happening. Pete tells him that the dark water is full of magic, both light and dark, that it's the nexus of all realities.
And that's in the commercial for the cologne.
Exactly. Mm. And that when the Shits stole their land and drove their pumps into the ground, they angered the guardian spirit, and now it seeks blood for blood. And Kyle delivers a spectacular line here. Mm. He goes, Pete, I'm a cop. Like, just the way he says it.
Like,
I got hit by a bus. Like, it was the same cadence. Oh, my God. He goes, I can't believe in Indian spirits and magic. He goes, what you believe doesn't matter. And he goes, you're not from this place. You're not from any place. Oh, burn! You ain't got no peoples, white boy! Oh, Lord. So, Kyle asks Pete where Ted Salas is, and if he's not the one killing people, who is? Terry tries to get him to stop, but Kyle presses on, wanting to know, like, if he's out there helping Renee kill
and that's
him.
And he pretty much gives Pete a heart attack.
Well, that's
Pete.
That's when you figure out that, because he says maybe he's in the swamp, or maybe the swamp is in him.
Yep.
So that's how you know that Ted Salas is Man-Thing.
Yep. So, it's...
I didn't put that together. I was just trying to get through the movie.
Susie's like, I checked out 20 minutes ago. How long do we have left?
I'm just jotting down things. Like, Big Shit wants Renee dead, and, oh, we're coming up to my favorite part of the movie, though.
Yep. Kyle tries to tell him, whoever, whatever it is that's out there, Pete, I saw it. Terry turns and asks, what did you see? And he simply says, I don't know.
And that's why he reminds me of Stifler. I don't know.
Oh, the acting was stellar in this film.
Oh, Lord.
Pete tells him, you know what you saw. He goes on to tell him that it is chosen who will die. He goes, who? And he goes, everyone. What's he get? What great dialogue.
So when he said that, I immediately thought of Resident Evil 1. You're all going to die down here.
Oh.
But she was a little, like, Cajun girl from the bayou. Saying,
y'all gonna die now.
Who's gonna die?
Y'all gonna...
All of you.
It was Fairuza Balk's character from The Water Boy. Y'all gonna die down here.
You're all doomed.
Oh, Lord. So then Pete goes into a bit of a trance, and they help him sit down. Pete tells him he's tired and asks them to leave him be.
So it's pretty much like, I'm done with you, white boy.
I'm done. Get out of here.
Then they go back to the car, and again we see burning vehicles. And then they have this exchange,
It takes place in the land of Mad Max after that.
Right.
Right. Right. And, fuck. Who's the bad guy in Fury Road? Why can't I think of his name?
Immortal Joe.
Immortal Joe.
Yep.
Look out in here for Immortal Joe. He's been... He got married a long time ago. Where are his babies? Where did they go?
We are
off the rails tonight. So they're standing by the sheriff truck.
Oh,
and all of a sudden they just have this look in their eyes.
Well, he goes, I'm not sure that I can protect you.
And then they look at each other and they like have this kiss. And I'm like, oh, come on. What the fuck?
Because she's like... Oh, Kyle, but the way she said it is like, oh, Billy. Like, it's just...
Oh, my... I wanna.
She's like, oh, is that your man thing?
She lets her hair down and they start making...
Oh, my God, it is so fucking stupid.
Let me hair down.
You got arrested by him, and then he made you leave your job, put your occupation, your livelihood in jeopardy. And now you're like...
She heard about his man thing.
I actually, my note right here is this has to be one of the most ham-fisted, awkward makeouts that we've ever seen in a movie, and we watched Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
And then the shitmobile.
And then the shitmobile.
The shitty Hummer. Oh my God.
Aren't you supposed to be investigating the murder instead of the educational system? I laughed at that.
I did too.
Then he's like, does she taste as good as she looks?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, gross. You're just gross. Like, come on.
He was jealous because
he wants to
she got
squirt up there.
She got the Kyle Williams before he could.
Ah.
He was a little jealous.
He was like, he's so young and supple. Oh, my God. So he asks the shits, what exactly is your relationship with Rene LaRocque? And Schist tells him that he used to work for him. And he goes, hell, half the town did. And then Schist, that's when Schist creepily asks, tell me, Sheriff, does she taste as good as she looks? But Kyle tells him that something stinks and he's calling the FBI. And so Schist gets pissed and tells him that he's relieved
Shit
of his duties. Schist is pissed.
And you are relieved of your duty.
Well, you're not the boss of me, the counties.
He goes, I am the county.
All right, boss hog.
He does look like a hog.
He goes, we're going to have this whole thing sorted out by morning. And Kyle goes, that's fine, but until then, stay the fuck out of my way. And Jay gets pissed and goes to hit Kyle. And Daddy Schist hits him in the nuts.
He goes, get in the car. Get in the car. He's like, oh, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
But what about that sheriff digging?
Well, no, we're getting there. We're getting there. Schist tells Kyle that that the town was nothing before him and that no one's going to muscle him out. Not the FBI, not Rene LaRocque, and certainly not some two-bit Yankee cocksucker with a badge.
And he goes, fuck you, and he flips him off he says, and turns around and stomps like a petulant child to the shitmobile.
That whole scene cracked me the fuck up. But, you know, this
goddamn Yankee cocksucker.
This is the scene, I know, Maurice, you'll remember me bitching about this, because this is the scene that stuck with me ever since I first watched it. I could not get past how terrible this was.
The Pine Sun scene?
Oh, my God. Yeah, where they're in the Hummer, and it's like we get our villain parlor scene.
Oh, my God.
Because this is where he talks about this. What about that sheriff digging around? And he's like, let him dig.
He's digging his own grave.
And then they do the maniacal laugh.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. That's what I wrote. They're both like, ha, 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 ha. And then it just cuts.
Well, because, and it's a slow build, too, because he goes, and it's like, what? Why?
And you know the way it's cut. It cut to a commercial.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was on Sci-Fi after that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so bad. And I was like, this is the point in the movie where when the first time I watched it, I completely checked out. Like, I was like, I'm done now. But we cut to Pete Horn praying again. This time he's praying for strength and says the killing ends tonight. So we see him head out into the swamp on his boat. Now we cut to Terry and Kyle. Kyle is gearing up for a fight. Terry begs him to stop.
And then they kiss again.
No, yeah, of course they do.
And he goes, I want you to promise me you'll stay here. She's like, I have to go with you. He's like, promise me you'll stay here. And she looks down at his pants and is like, okay.
But promise me you'll come back.
Come back with that man thing in your pants.
So he hops in his boat and heads out into the swamp. Now we get the montage of Kyle heading into the swamp, Pete heading into the swamp, and the Schists heading into their swamp, followed by nature shots. But when the Schists are heading into the swamp, tell me you couldn't hear the Baywatch action music behind them.
Yep.
It was so bad. But now we cut to Pete walking through the swamp, chanting.
Okay, so are his pants, does he have any type of waterproof stuff on his shoes?
So. No.
Because he's going to get swamp rot on his feet.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get little bugs and crustaceans. His feet are going to look like Billy's body.
I think at this point he's like, I'm done. I'm done with life. I'm done. Because he heads off to...
Oh, not to... Pete. I'm sorry. Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Oh, no,
no. None of them.
Yeah, none of them do.
None of them.
Yeah, so then he's going to have to give her the man thing with his socks on for the rest of his life.
He's going to have swamp foot.
Yeah. Old Greg is going to pop up and be like, you ever drink Bailey's out of a shoe? Just as they're starting to get it on.
I was going to say, remember the episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog where Grandpa has that toes?
Oh,
toes
God. That are, like,
taking over his body?
Yes. I loved that show.
I know.
It was such a good show.
Poor Muriel. She passed away. Well, the lady played her voice.
Yeah. We cut to Pete in the swamp chanting. Kyle passes the Plug's place. Plug's place? God, that's hard to say. And he sees the Schist's boat. The Schists are running around in the swamp playing Rambo. They have the fucking, like, black war paint on and shit. And then we finally see Renee walking through the dark water. So we keep getting these little montages. Back to Pete chanting, and we see the man thing come out toward him. So Pete tells him, "I know you, and I am not afraid." He says, "Take my life and be done with it."
And sure as hell does.
Yep, the man thing picks him up, stabs him with some CGI tentacles, fills him with plant splooge, and his eyes turn red and pop out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So bye-bye,
Pete.
And
then he turns into an almost brundle fly and just falls into the swamp.
Yep. Then back to Terry at the police station. The coroner calls and says he needs to talk with Kyle.
She's like, "He's not here." He goes, "Well, it's urgent. I can get a message to him. I pulled a slug out of the old sheriff's back. He was shot."
Dun, dun, dun. It was an unnatural death.
Like, you wouldn't tell somebody that.
No.
I have that note here. I'm like, yeah. So why would you tell the teacher this?
Right. She's like, "Oh, good. Now I have a reason to break my promise."
Mm-hmm. So I cut to Terry being a dumbass and heading into the swamp.
Yep.
Well, I mean, she's been going in the swamp for years, so she...
Yeah, but
get around better than most, but yeah,
she's a dumbass. She's still a dumbass. But we cut to Kyle walking around the swamp. He hears a camera click and looks around. Suddenly, Ploog's dogs attack him.
This part's fucking hilarious.
He starts yelling at Ploog to get his dogs off of him, and Ploog comes running over and apologizes. Kyle yells at Ploog for not staying in town like he told him. Then we hear the creature. Ploog tells him that that's his future calling.
I think it's the cover of Life magazine.
He goes, "Life magazine went out of business,
you fucking idiot."
And Ploog runs off chasing the man thing. Back to the Schists looking around. They split up and Data Schist sees a camera flash.
Take a picture of him, shoots him. Kills Ploog, but then leaves his camera floating in the swamp.
Right. Taking pictures.
Yeah.
With a picture of you on it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, no Life magazine for Ploog.
Nope.
I was really upset when he died.
Yeah.
I liked him.
I did like Ploog.
Quirky little man thing that he was.
He was a quirky little character. And I love Mike Ploog's art, so, you know. But Jake is wandering around waist deep in murky water playing commando. Suddenly, Renee pops out, grabs his gun, and bashes him in the face with it.
That's why I fucking love Renee, because he, like, sneaks up like an alligator and just pops out and, like, fucking busts him in the face.
He's an alligator ninja.
Well, see, that's the thing. Jake was just playing Rambo. Renee actually was Rambo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes off deeper into the swamp, leaves him floating in the water. So Terry shows up and starts calling out for Kyle. We see Man-Thing Vision come up and start watching her.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle finds dead Mike and realizes it was Schist. He heads deeper into the swamp and eventually runs into Terry. She tells him what the coroner said. He tells her about Ploog and that he thinks Salas didn't run away with the money, that he thinks that Schist killed him for the land.
And they kissed again.
Yes. And Corley knew the truth, so Schist killed him. And Renee was the last one that knows what actually happened, so that's why they're trying to kill him too. So they're trying to cover up all their witnesses, but very badly. So Terry tells them that he's hiding out in the dark water and that she can lead him there. So off they go. So they hear the man thing coming. Kyle tells Terry that he thinks Pete may have been right. They continue on following, they continue on into the dark water while the man thing continues on following.
I fucking hate this whole sequence because the flashlights is like shaky cam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
It's, see now, we cut to...
I can't say anything!
Well, because first we cut to the oil pump in the center of the dark water and Renee rigging it with Chekhov's explosives. And then we see Schist sneaking up on Renee and catches him right before he rigs the oil rig to explode. Right before he finishes doing that. And Schist tells him to go ahead, just give me a reason to shoot. Renee sets down the trigger and tells him it doesn't matter, the swamp will have you. And Terry leads Kyle into the entrance of the dark water, and this is where we see that Man-Thing is right behind him, and we get this fucking funhouse montage of them on their way through mm-hmm. the dark water. And you're right, it was very much like shaky cam, but it feels like any time there's a funhouse in a horror movie and people are running through it,
yep.
like it's like the houses that October built, like it just, mm-hmm. it screamed of that. But yeah, that was a really lame sequence. So they hear Terry and Kyle coming, and Schist tells Renee to be quiet and sneaks back into the trees like a little bitch. They see Renee with the explosives. Renee tells Terry that it was his sin that brought the rig there, and taking it down is his penance. He reaches for the trigger. Schist pops out of nowhere and shoots him. Kyle turns to fire at Schist, but Schist shoots him in the shoulder. That's a lot of S's.
Schist shoots
a lot of
him. Schist shoots him in the shoulder. Say that 10 times fast.
Schist then holds Kyle and Terry at gunpoint, telling them that they should have just stayed out of this. And Kyle tells him, "You're gonna die, Schist." And he goes, "Yeah, and I suppose you're gonna kill me." And he goes, "No, he is."
And he turns around, and there's Man-Thing in all of his Cthulhu glory.
In all of his Man-Thing glory.
Yep.
And Maurice is doing the tentacle dance.
Yep.
So Schist shoots the creature, which of course has no effect. It stabs its hand right through him, making him flop around like a fish out of water. Again, Schist's acting was fantastic. He slowly walks over to the oil rig, busts open a drum of oil, sucks it up with one of his tentacles.
That moss is very absorbent.
Mm-hmm. It's like a ShamWow.
Yeah.
He then shoves it into Schist and pumps the oil back out into him.
And I do love this because, like, you can see his, like, veins are filling that, with oil.
That was a cool kill scene.
Yeah, and then his eyes turn black and then just he starts vomiting oil.
That was great.
Black gold, Texas tea.
Oh, y'all, man. Come back now, you hear?
Dumb motherfucker dead.
Bye-bye Schist.
And then he just throws him.
He throws his corpse.
He's like, "You are too much for Man-Thing."
Oh, God. And then he comes at Terry and Kyle. Kyle shoots it repeatedly, and he just keeps regrowing the parts that get shot off. Renee fixes the trigger, tells him to run, which, like, run, you're waist deep in a swamp. So they just kind of slosh through the water.
I thought he told him to duck.
Well, he did. He does. First he says, run, and they're like, snoosh, snoosh. And he's like, duck. He's like, "You're not getting out of here quick enough."
So they duck. Renee blows everything up.
With a spectacular PS2-era CGI fireball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so bad.
That only kills the rock.
Yep. Because Terry and Kyle resurface, and we see the swamp fire, like, the swamp is on fire, and Man-Thing just kind of reforms, and we just hear Native chanting through the, like, filling the air. Man-Thing looks back at the oil rig, sees that it's been destroyed, holds its hand and tentacles to the sky as thunder and lightning flash, like, thunder cracks, lightning flashes, and then he just melts back into the ground until he's gone. And Terry and Kyle watch it go and then make out because that's what you do in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
They then walk away and we pan to the flaming wreckage of the Schist oil rig. Black screen, the end. What a movie.
No end credit scenes. Shame on you, Marvel.
I waited.
Shame.
Yeah, I fast-forwarded through the credits to see. There wasn't.
Yeah. Nah, it was bad. But we mentioned, like, pretty much all of the trivia already. Like, who the characters were named after and all that.
Well, I kind of brought up the lawsuit earlier, and then basically they said forget about it because basically there was a Swamp Thing, Man Thing before in the 40s called The Heap from Hillman Periodicals.
Yep.
So,
which ended up in Spawn Comics eventually.
Yeah. So they're like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
A test screening for the film was held in which a lot of the audience walked out before it even ended.
Yep.
I can't imagine why.
See, I didn't think it was that bad where I would walk out.
No, this walks the line of so bad that it's just bad and so bad that it's good.
Yeah.
It walks the line where it's like there's enough entertainment value here. Where, like I said, I probably will watch it again at some point.
I mean, most of the deaths are really cool in this movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And, I wasn't bored. That's the thing. Like, I wouldn't say I was excitedly watching the movie, but I wasn't bored.
Right.
You know, there's been plenty of movies we've covered, like Dolly Dearest, where I'm sitting here going, how long is this fucking movie on for?
It's only been on 17 minutes?
Right. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, and we've covered plenty of stuff like that where at least one or more of us have had that feeling. I didn't do that here. Like, I genuinely enjoyed myself with this movie, like, as far as being entertained. But yeah, I don't put it up there high on my list.
No, I mean, it's not like a movie I'm going to put on.
He's going to go home and watch it again tonight.
I'm actually going to say something that might be controversial here. I think I enjoyed watching this critically more than I enjoyed watching Swamp Thing critically. Because Swamp Thing
was pretty boring in parts.
Watching it critically, I wasn't that big of a fan of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Now, part two, I'm going by childhood memories of Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing 2, I remember being much more fun. That's the one with Heather Locklear. I remember watching that a lot as a kid. And that was more of a comedy.
Right.
But as far as the two Swamp Monster movies we've covered, I would probably put this above Swamp Thing.
What about Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Well, now, see, I don't really count him as a swamp monster, but yeah. Okay, that's definitely top of the heap. I mean, if we're gonna talk that. Every time I picture Creature of the Black Lagoon now, all I can
fuck
think...
Fuck this table.
I put that and the Coke balloons, because we kept talking about the Coke balloons. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I had a fun time with this. I did end up buying it digitally, so, you know.
I may have to end up buying it digitally, because I cannot find my DVD copy.
Well, like I said, it's only $6.
And I'm one of the few people in the world that probably owned it.
I don't even know if they have the DVD copy out anymore.
Oh, yeah. I looked up at Walmart, Target, Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
You gonna buy it?
No.
She's like, ooh, that's a good gift for the stocking.
Oh.
Actually.
It is.
Oh.
They have a bunch of the comics on Amazon.
I do have I bought the R.L. Stein one we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah, that's a good
There's
one.
There's the DVD. 1236.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. I like that one. But, well.
Oh, my God. So, Man-Thing, there's the DVD. A little lower. LED flashlight glove gifts for men Father Day outdoor fishing gloves. That's what it says.
In case you need to go into the swamp, like the Tibidos.
And this is what it looks like.
Oh, it looks like a flashlight.
It looks like a bidet on your finger.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing pinchy fingers?
I want it.
I don't know.
I'm
sad that I put down that because now, because you searched for.
You're going to get some weird searches.
Oh,
Man-Thing. But for those of you not following us on the social medias, we are the Boogeyman's Closet on both Facebook and Instagram. And Maurice, you handle our Twitter. What is that, good sir?
At Boogeyman's the...
Thank you very much. We're still doing our giveaways. By the time you hear this, we will have a very amazing September giveaway up and running, because I haven't posted it quite yet at the time of this recording, but, oh boy, it's going to be a good one. We also have a Patreon. It's $3 a month for all of our audio content. That includes one special episode that's only on Patreon every month, along with all of these episodes completely unedited. And at the $6 tier and higher, you will get stuff sent to you in the mail, which right now, if you do sign up for September, you have a chance to get all four prints that we've already released for the previous months, along with this month's print, just for joining. So it's the only way to get the prints that we've done in the past. So check it out if you're interested. Our next episode after this will be 111. It'll be Club Dread. So we'll have another comedic film coming up. But, yeah, so happy birthday, Maurice. Welcome to the 40 Club. It's all downhill from here.
The old so-and-so.
Your warranty has officially expired.
Yep.
Yes.
So be ready for all the aches and pains that come with that.
I already feel it.
But, all right, guys, so with that, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
Man-Thing.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at the Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.